I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Join us right now on the Matt Suarez Hotlines, our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author and Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. Golf season still in full swing as we head to the best time of year to play. Golfdom has you covered to live the game in the fall with the best in apparel, clubs, shoes, and more. Visit Golfdom and Tysons or at golfdomgolf.com. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys?
Hello,
John. Before we get into anything, I hear that you're working on a new project. Why don't you fill us in?
Well, I'll tell you real quick. It just came out this week. It's an audio book. First time I've ever done a book strictly for audio. It's called The Friends I've Made. And it's basically 5 hours of me talking to and talking about five people who I've known well for many years in sports. David Faraday, Tom Izzo, Mike Krzyzewski, Steve Kerr, Mary Carrillo. All people I've been close to. And you know, there's this sort of the myth created that reporters are supposed to be objective. Fact is, we're not. We all have biases. We like people more than others. We dislike some. The key thing is to be fair, whether you like people or don't like them. These are five people I like very much. I've known very well. I think the conversations are pretty intimate. Each person has about an hour. I talk about them, my relationship with them, who they are. Then I interview them for 30 to 40 minutes, and then I do an epilogue. So it's out. You can download it on Amazon.com. As I said, it's called The Friends I've Made. And it was really a lot of fun to do, talking to those five people at length, especially in the middle of the pandemic when we were all sort of cut off from people, and still are to some degree. But this was in the middle of the summer when we put this whole thing together. So it was a lot of fun, and so far, what I'm getting from people who've downloaded it and listened to it is they seem to really enjoy it.
Do you have any vibe or any gut feeling on when Coach K finally will say, all right, I'm just going to go retire, I've had a great career?
You know, Jason, I don't, because he doesn't play golf. Mm-hmm. He does not like the one and done, but he has certainly embraced it because he felt he had to stay competitive. But he still loves to coach. He loves to compete. You know, he has told me that as long as he's healthy, he'll coach. Now, he's had both knees replaced, both hips replaced. He had ankle surgery. I mean, he's had all sorts of – when he had the last knee replaced, which is, I think, three summers ago now, and I you know, called just to see how he was doing, he said, I did this because I want to keep coaching for a while. And I said, well, hell, you're bionic. You ought to be able to coach for another 50 years. I could see 75, he's 73 now, being the time. I could see if they won another national championship, that might be the time. Or he might just say, you know what, it's too much work for me, I'm done. But I honestly can't say to you there's a sell-by date that I know of. And I don't think he does either, by the way. And I don't think he'll do one of those things where he'll announce in July this will be his last season and do the farewell tour thing. I think it'll be more like, okay, season's over, I'm done.
I thought he had a health issue last year that was not related to the ankles.
Yeah, I think it was just that I don't know if it was the flu or something, but he might have missed a game. He's missed a few games the last few years for different reasons. He's had the back has He's had back problems for years now, dating back to 95 when he had back surgery, 94. But yeah, I mean, look, he's 73 years old. He pushes himself very hard, especially during the season. And it happens. And you know, Dean Smith was 66 when he retired. Roy Williams is 70 now, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And coaches do go longer now. Boeheim's 75, will actually be 76 next month. So coaches do go longer. John Wooden was 63 when he retired. How many championships might he have won if he'd gone into his 70s?
John, all of these people that you have focused on here for this audiobook, they're all sort of long-time, you know, sports figures. Are there any new up-and-comers? You know, obviously you have a tight relationship with Rory. I know you're close with Alex Smith. Are there others that you could do this same sort of concept with in 10 years?
Yeah, actually, I made a when I first started putting this together, Eric, I made a list of about 20 people. Some of them, again, who I've gone way back with, and some of them more recent. Rory would certainly be someone on that list. John McEnroe, who's not new, of course, was on that list. And so there are quite a few people. Tony La Russa, again, somebody I've known a long time. I think people having been around for a long time makes for better storytelling. Rory would be an exception. I'm glad you brought him up because even though he's only 30, he's just such a great talker and so smart and so insightful about things. And Jordan Spieth, I think, is very underrated as a talker, as a smart guy. I think sometimes because he's been overprotected by his agent. But when I spent time with him while I was researching the Ryder Cup book, I thought he was great. And he was very honest, very open, returned every call or text that I made when I was following up during the research of the book. He would be somebody, I think, if you got him to sit down and talk for 30 or 40 minutes, who would be very, very good.
Did Rory snap his club over his knee yesterday?
I have no idea. I did not watch any golf yesterday. But if he did, it wouldn't be a first.
Yeah,
I think he snapped his wedge or something, right?
In the water at Bay Hill from about 50 yards away. He fanned a
wedge, and he kind of broke it on the ground. Not over his knee, though.
Oh. The wedge got what it deserved.
By the way, horrible story for Michael Greller, Spieth's caddy, who lost his dad, I think. I don't know if that was earlier this year or last year, and then lost his mom.
I think a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Lost his mom suddenly this year, so he's not on the bag this week. Spieth's dad is, man. That's tough.
Yeah, no, Michael Greller is just one of the nicer guys you'll ever meet. And, of course, a very interesting story. He was actually a teacher.
Right.
And met Jordan when he was a teacher and was a golf teacher at Chambers Bay. Mm-hmm. And Jordan played in the U.S. Amateur there. I can't remember the year, 2011 maybe, 2012. And met Greller, and they became friendly. And he asked him to caddy for him, you know, just – for a tournament or two, and then, of course, it's a relationship that's gone on now for about 7 years.
Yeah. All right, so what are your thoughts on we've been talking about all week. What are your thoughts on Dallas and Washington this week? Two bad teams, two backup quarterbacks, but it's a bad division that's winnable for, I guess, anybody.
For anybody.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on this match?
Except the Giants, because Daniel Jones would fall down on the way to a winning touchdown in a key moment.
Unbelievable.
Well, first of all, let me say this, and I know people in Washington don't want to hear this, but I'll say it anyway. Les Carpenter, in his story in the Post today, referred to this as the most revered rivalry in the NFL. It's not. It's been a good rivalry at times, but I know from having been down there that for the Cowboys, their biggest rival is whoever's good in the East that year. At times it's Washington, at times it's the Giants, at times it's the Eagles. Packers and Bears is a much more storied rivalry in NFL history. So, you know, I know that dating back to George Allen, because I was in college during those days, you know, whenever they played the Cowboys, it was Dallas week, all caps. And back then, of course, Washington was good. And, of course, under Joe Gibbs, they were very good. And they've had their moments throughout history when the Dallas-Washington game has been a huge game. This is only an important game the same way the Eagles and Giants were important last night, just because somebody's got to win the division. As you said, Jason, two bad teams. I mean, the Cowboys were just awful on Sunday night against Arizona. I mean, embarrassingly awful, and their owner said so. And, you know, Washington found a way to lose to the Giants last week. The Giants are terrible. But somebody's going to win the game, and the team that wins the game will, you know, it will be sort of a third of the way, or if it's Dallas, halfway, toward the number of wins you're going to need to win the division. And so it's a game people will watch because of that. If it was a normal year where somebody was going to win 10 games in the division, nobody would be paying attention other than friends and family.
Will you watch it?
No, I won't, because Sunday afternoon is Jane's 10th birthday party. Oh. So I will be otherwise occupied.
Are you guys doing anything in the COVID era? Anything
what are the
special
plans?
We are. We're having a small number of kids over, kids who Jane has been around all summer, and so we feel safe. And the weather's not supposed to be great, but there's something called Squeals on Wheels, where these people bring animals to you, and the kids get to play with the animals outdoors. They have a tent if needed. And we did that last year, and it was a big success with Jane and all her friends. So we'll do that, and then we'll have, you know, cake and stuff like that. And it'll be smaller than the usual Jane birthday parties, which tend to be coronations. But Jane is very much looking forward to it.
Hmm.
What?
Big blowouts usually? Like blowout parties?
I didn't
parties?
Hear you.
He said
like,
big blowout parties.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, we go to the places that kids like to go to where they have bounce houses and
sure.
stuff like that. And we've been dating back to my older kids. I feel like I've been to every single one of them at some point. But, yeah, usually we do that. We did once have a party for Jane here in the backyard. We got lucky, and we had a pony for the kids to ride. So we tend to go all out for birthdays.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to ask you, John, we were talking about Antonio Brown. So I guess Dez Bryant potentially may sign with the practice squad with the Ravens, which
apparently he's going to, yeah. I'm going to see Eric DaCosta this morning for research on my book. So
tell him I
love him. More after I talk to him.
All right, well, let us know. But apparently Antonio Brown, I don't know, Pete Carroll, you know, he signs these kind of guys. Is this strange to you? It's strange to me that maybe I'm wrong, but it appears that he can serve his 8-game suspension even though he's not in the league. Like, that makes no sense to me.
I agree with you. It does make no sense. It seems to me you need to be under contract to somebody to be serving a suspension. I mean, so am I serving a suspension right now? Are you serving a suspension right now?
Right.
We're not under contract to anybody in the league either. But apparently after 8 games have been played in this season, he's allowed to play. Typical Roger Goodell, you know. He always finds a way to let the players off easier than harder, especially if they're TV players. Antonio Brown's a TV player. If he's signed by Seattle or somebody else, there'll be all sorts of hype going into his first game. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember last summer when he was in the Raiders camp and they were the Hard Knocks team. I mean, half the thing was about him. And then he ended up not playing a down for them. But, I mean, it was constantly Antonio Brown telling you why he was such a good guy. If I'm Seattle and I'm 5-0, I don't want to mess with that locker room. Right. I mean, I know the guy's a talent. There's no question about it. But he's been a migraine headache everywhere he's been. He couldn't even last with the Patriots, for God's sake. And Belichick is known just as much as Carroll for taking in guys who are tough to coach.
Real quick, we had Loxley on this week, and you know everybody. He's so well known for his recruiting, but he's never really had success as a head guy.
Right.
What do you say? What do you think ultimately this ends up with him?
You know, I'd like to see Loxley do well for a lot of reasons. But whoever coaches Maryland is got an uphill battle because they're in the Big Ten East. And they've got to play Michigan, Michigan State, you know, this just about every year. Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State. That's 4 games where just about every year you're going to be the underdog. And then you throw in, you know, a year where you play Wisconsin or Iowa. It's just really going to be hard to ever win more than 6 or 7 games at Maryland, even if you do recruit well. And that all dates back to Debbie Yao, you know, breaking the athletic department's budget and then being forced to take the Big Ten's money. But I think it's a hard job for anybody, just as Rutgers is a hard job for anybody. I think I've told you guys before that when I was talking to David Stern after Rutgers and Maryland joined the Big Ten, and he was talking. He's a Rutgers grad, was a Rutgers grad, and he said Maryland and Rutgers playing football in the Big Ten—that's child abuse. And you know that he might have been overstating it, but look at their records in the league since they got in there.
All right, John. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate the time as always.
All right, guys. Thanks for the letting me talk about the new book project. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Have a great weekend.
Have fun petting the llamas this weekend when they show up at your house.
I can't wait.
All right. Thank
See you,
John.
Guys.
That's best-selling author John Feinstein. All right. We touched on the Washington-Dallas game with him, but we haven't taken any calls on the show. What do you think happens? Who do you think wins? There's a split on the show. Jason picked in Fatty's the Cowboys.
Yep.
Valdez went
Rolling
the other
the
way.
Dice.
I'm actually picking Washington this week for the first time all season. I think it sets itself up for a win with their banged up offensive line, kind of the behind the scenes stuff there with the coaches and the players being unhappy with the new coaches. We want to hear from you. 800-636-1067. We'll open up the AAA Always On Call listener lines. Who do you like on Sunday, Dallas or Washington? Next on The Fan. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on a Football Friday brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. And we're going to dive into Washington versus Dallas here. And we're simply asking you, who do you think wins? For the first time this year, I'm picking Washington. I'm looking at the Dallas Morning News, and they have an article about the offensive line, which is completely in shambles for the Cowboys. They've got a couple third stringers. So Zach Martin may not be able to play on Sunday. He's arguably their best lineman. If he doesn't play on Sunday, their original group is down to just one of the five guys they started with at the beginning of the season. And they're not just playing with backups. They're playing with third stringers in some cases. So that and the fact that you've got players sniping at the coaches. We're going to talk to Sean and RJ from the Fan in Dallas coming up at 9 o'clock. I think they interviewed Mike McCarthy today. So that'll be interesting to hear what McCarthy was telling those guys about kind of the strife there within the team. But for those reasons and their awful defense, which gives up over 36 points per game, I'm taking Washington.
Yeah, Cam Irving is making the start at left tackle for Dallas. That's the third left tackle in what will be their seventh game. So that can't be good for Andy Dalton long-term. You mentioned Zach Martin. He didn't even practice Wednesday or Thursday in the concussion protocol. I find it hard to believe he's going to go from not practicing to all of a sudden being ready Sunday. So, I mean, they're going to have to prepare to play without him, too.
But I could say the same thing for the Washington receivers, because besides McLaurin, you got a bunch of guys coming off the practice squad, a bunch of undrafted guys. And I know you can use Gibson and McKissick in the passing game, and I guess Kyle Allen's going to have to use those guys heavy, but you know, you also need receivers to make plays downfield, take shots downfield, and I wouldn't be afraid of those guys. So, all right, so you got weaknesses on one end and weaknesses on the other, and the question is who can play better at the backup positions, the line for Dallas or the receivers at Washington?
Here's the key for me. Two keys. I'm going to give Kyle Allen one turnover, so keep it at one. I don't care if you fumble it, throw a pick, whatever. Give you one, that's reasonable. If you hold it to one, and if we can get four sacks or more, I like Washington. Those two things have to happen. Kyle Allen has to have less than one turnover, and we have to pressure Andy Dalton into some bad throws, and you really got to take him down in some long, you know, a big second down blitz or something, you know, where he's facing third and long. We don't give up some huge chunk 40-yard play. Four sacks and one turnover or less, and I like Washington.
I don't think it's asking too much. Last week, the Cardinals had three sacks, eight quarterback hits, but reading this article in the Dallas Morning News, they say it doesn't tell the story, that at times it almost seemed like he was pressured before he even snapped the ball. So the Cardinals were all over Dalton, and he did have a ton of dropbacks, but as we mentioned, the line may be even worse than it was last week, this week.
They were doing that without their best pass rusher, without Chandler Jones.
Right.
So they are creating pressure without their best player. So you would think Sweat and Chase Young and company should be able to get out.
I'm just looking for half the production that they had in week one against the Eagles. Just give me half of that.
Yep.
We had eight. Give me four and one Kyle Allen turnover or less, and I like the boy.
You
like
be your Washington. Proponent of the due theory. Chase Young's due a sack.
Well,
he's due.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's got to play. He
he's
due games,
a game changing.
And I guess
play.
Washington's due a win. I just don't. I just don't think it's going to happen this week.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Call us on the AAA Always On Call listener lines. We've been talking about the Washington football team all morning on this Football Friday. Do they get a win to get the two wins, which would put them, if they get the win, they'd be a half game back of the Eagles in the division.
All right, let's go to line one. 800-636-1067. If you want to chime in, give us your keys to the game. Who do you like? Let's go to Tommy in Germantown. Tommy, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Real quick, another thing I have to add to this conversation, being a Washington fan over the years, is I have a couple friends that played for Dallas, and speaking to them, a couple of them local guys, Montgomery County, but they told me that the organization is so dysfunctional and the defense is so inept that we could start Billy Kilmer and we'd be favored by 10.
Now, who are these sources? These are guys that, hold on, these are your friends that you say played for Dallas?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, come on, man. We're talking about guys like me. We're older than dirt. We're going back to the 80s and stuff like that. So,
well, give us the names. Come on, who are the guys?
Yeah, who were they?
Oh, come on, man.
Come on.
Come on. Come on, man. You know, these are friends. Why would I expose friends? You know what I'm saying?
What's exposing?
Well, you kind of are dropping names when you're going,
you're
my friends who are players.
Name drop.
He's doing a bit.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. You know, you guys are tight.
Thank you, Valdez.
All right, let's go to the
anyway, is it possible for somebody's voice to sound like Tommy's when they're young?
No.
Yes.
That's age.
Yes.
Plus probably
Drunk
smoking
Mike.
A lot of, like, yeah, okay, that's an exception. But generally, it's age plus a lot of Marlboro Reds.
Right.
Get you to that point.
Right. Marlboro Reds.
Yeah.
Where was he calling from?
Germantown.
Germantown.
Close to me.
That's right. JP's hood.
Probably your neighbor.
Yeah. Let's go to Mary
he has
Ellen.
A skinny townhouse.
800-636-1067. He's near the Soccerplex. Mary Ellen, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, I just wanted to talk to you about the Redskins, and I have another point, too.
Okay.
But as far as Redskins, I pretty much agree with you, Eric, that mm-hmm. I mean, not Eric. Yeah, Eric. I'm losing it here. I think the Redskins line has to make a substantial difference than what they did, you know, the last number of games. They have to play like they did against Philadelphia, but also they have to keep the turnovers down. But I have a feeling this is a game that we think we should win, and they're just going to hurt us at the end. I hope not.
I hope not. It's very possible.
Well, I'll just tell you this. If they lose this game, I'm not picking them the rest of the way. I haven't
right,
picked them yet.
Bad teams,
then. For some reason, this just feels like a game that they're going to sneak up and get a dub.
Well, if they do win, you might pick them in the next couple because they have some poo-poos.
Depending on how they look.
Yeah.
Stars are aligning for the Washington football team this week.
I think so, too.
I definitely think so.
It feels like the Eagles game.
We'll see about that.
Where the Eagles were banged up, it just set itself up for a win. I wasn't brave enough to pick Washington in that Eagles game.
I'm uber confident in the Washington football team.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, you were uber confident last 2 weeks, too. And pick fat losers.
That's true. He got you there, Valdez.
He not only picked one loser, he picked two losers last week.
Yeah, this is my play of the year.
Game of the year?
Yeah, my game of the year.
Bet it all. Bet it all.
100 dime special.
Oh, yeah. Unlimited dime special.
If they win this game, I'm telling you, the schedule is favorable the next three or four. They could go on a little streak here if they
win
this game.
Look. If
you could talk yourself into a few wins.
If Kyle Allen has like a 300-yard game, which is possible against his defense, it throws for a couple touchdowns, and they score 30 points, which every team scores 30 points against the Dallas Cowboys, and they get a win, you're going to be full-blown psyched, Stevie.
Well, I'll pick them against the Giants.
There'll be a lot of chest puffing for a team that's lost five
there's
straight.
There's going to be a lot of play the music, Valdez.
Yes.
I'll pick them against the Giants, Lions, and the Bengals the next three. They win this week.
That'd be a run.
Why don't you make a little emotional hedge play?
No, guys, I actually think this game's 50-50.
But if you bet on Dallas, you'll be happy either way. I mean, you'll be happier if Washington wins, but
I got to actually win some bets, dude. I'm
What's your account down to right now?
Well, no, it's like 240 or something. But I had it up to like 380.
Right, right.
I'm just
what did you put on the game last night?
Hemorrhaging.
20?
Just 20. Yeah. But I just lose all the time. I just can't win. All right, let's go to Don.
Make so many wagers this weekend. It's gonna be a joke.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't, if you bet so much, you can't win.
Oh yeah, that's the reason I lose. I make 50 wagers a weekend.
Yeah. I'll have 3 or 4 bets going on one game, and it's just stupid. All right, let's go to Don Ashburn. Don, what's up?
Hey, good morning, boys. I think we're still too close to the hands of Bruce Allen with the loser mentality. The Skins are going to lose. Ezekiel, it's always got a good game against us, and I just don't think we're going to be able to stop those receivers.
Well, that's not true. He doesn't always have a good game against us. I can remember, it might have been 2 years ago, but I remember we bottled him up one game.
Now
remember
we had that streak. Zeke splits.
We had that streak where we bottled up like 3 pretty good running backs in a row. Do you remember that? Am I the only one that remembers that?
No, I remember it.
Yeah.
That's when I was buying
might
into
the Might have been
2 years
ago.
That's
though,
when I was buying into the Alabama wall.
Yeah. Me too. I'm over the Alabama wall.
You and Greg Minubski.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Let's go to line one. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Let's go to Tony in Hyattsville. Tony, what's up?
What's up? Good morning, fellas.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
What's up?
I'm good. So I'm taking Washington.
Nice.
I think it's going to be a big game for Jeff Bidette.
I'm hoping so.
That is quite a prediction.
Well, yeah, because they're going to leave him wide open. You know he's going to run that 4-2 down the sideline.
Here's a big game for Jeff Bidette. One catch.
Yeah.
One catch for 12 yards.
How about one catch for 50?
No.
Okay.
No, yeah. I think he has at least a touchdown. And I think once he scores the touchdown, then that's when Terry's going to go off because, you know, I don't think they're expecting anything from Bidette. I don't even think they know who he is.
Right.
So I think they're going to key in on Terry. Then Jeff Bidette's going to go off. And then they're going to try to key in on Bidette. Then Terry's going to go off and
they're going to key in on Bidette.
Be too much.
By the way, in seven career games against Washington, Zeke's averaging 102 rushing yards.
All right,
per
but didn't
game.
He have one game where he had like 30?
I'm sure.
Look
that
at
he
the game
has.
Log.
I'm just talking about. I am
okay. The guy said every game. I'm just correcting the
By
record.
By average, every game he goes over 100 yards.
Okay, but that's not actually what happened.
I understand he's had some big games and a dud or two. But for the most part, he performs well against
Washington.
There's
a better chance of him having a big game than Jeff Bidette goes for a 50-yard touchdown.
By the way, if Bidette scores a touchdown, and hopefully he has like a bidet-type celebration ready to go.
Fake pulls his pants down. Joe Buck has fake outrage.
Yeah, he squats down. It'd be silly celebration for Bidette.
I can't believe I don't have a bidet. I mean, I'm the perfect guy for a bidet.
I mean, the way we clean ourselves back there is kind of archaic, let's be honest.
Yeah.
By the way, Elliot ran for, if you just want to work off last year, I agree with EB. A couple years ago, they had one game when they shut him down. But last year, he went for a buck 11 in week 2, and he went for a buck 22 in week 17.
Yeah, but go to, I think it was 2 years ago. Just go to that 3-game stretch where we bottled up some pretty good backs.
I remember that year.
Do you or no?
I do remember it. I remember.
Was it Barkley too?
Shutting dudes down for like 4 or 5 weeks in a row.
Yes, it was week 7, it looks like, in 2018.
I mean, let's go back to 2014 then.
No, come on. It's the same guys.
Luckily for Washington, they are
getting
Dallas.
He bounced back with 121 yards the next game.
Who cares?
But in that week 7 game.
And then who'd we play
after?
Hold
on. It takes me forever to click on.
I think Cakes is right. I think Saquon was one that we bottled up.
It might have been Barkley.
Yeah, Zeke was held to 33 yards on 15
but
carries.
Barkley got his last year. I know that in at least one game. He went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
He went bananas.
All right, should we keep taking calls next, or do you want to switch gears and open up the entertainment page?
No, I want to keep taking calls. I want to get fired up. I want Valdez to play the good music.
636-1067. Play the music, Valdez. We're talking Washington versus Dallas. Who do you think wins? It's simple. Who do you like?
And give me
Cowboys
keys.
Or the team?
Is it going to be Bidette?
Right.
Is it going to be Tony Brown?
Nobody's picking Bidette as a key this weekend. Nobody on the planet.
No, but maybe Terry McLaurin explodes. He's going up against the Dallas secondary. They stink, Cakes.
They're terrible.
As you Hopefully love to say, they stink on ice.
They stink on 10 sheets of ice.
36 points per game. We'll take more of your calls next. 800-636-1067. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington talking about this battle in the NFC East between the 1-5 Washington football team and the 2-4 Dallas Cowboys. If Dallas gets the win, they're in first place all by themselves. If Washington gets the win, then you've got both Washington and Dallas with two wins, the Giants, who lost last night, with one, and Philadelphia with two wins. Now, they do have a tie, so they would be in first place in the NFC East. It's a dreadful matchup. The Cowboys have the worst defense in the league in terms of points per game. They're giving up 36 points per game. But Washington doesn't score much, so you're wondering what's going to happen when Washington faces this Cowboys defense.
Right. What breaks?
I think it's a get-right game for Kyle Allen and the Washington football offense. I don't care if they're down to one guy. As long as that one guy is Terry McLaurin, they're going to find a way to make some plays against this defense.
And I would expect him to be heavily targeted. I think he's been targeted 10 or more times in at least two or three games. I would expect a dozen or so targets in this game against a poor secondary. And as long as Kyle Allen has enough time and can, you know, use his feet to maybe get out of the pocket and find McLaurin, McLaurin's going to be very busy this upcoming Sunday.
And hopefully, and it's an opportunity for Gibson to have a big game, or McKissick.
Or McKissick.
Kenyon Drake ran for .164 against him. And I think Kenyon Drake's a fine player, but 164 yards from Kenyon Drake?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just hard to get too worked up and really imagine a big game running the football.
Right, when you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, we just haven't done it. I actually have more faith in no-name receivers making plays than all of a sudden having some sort of breakout game on the ground. You know, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong. The reason why I like Bidette is just the speed factor. You know, they got to cover that. They got to account for that.
But you've never seen him play.
You're correct. But
in college or the pros.
I've never seen that person play. Football,
right. But
ever.
He's. I'm just looking for a guy to be a threat down the sideline, someone they have to account for, and maybe they won't one time.
Do
and
we
you
even
find
know
him.
If he's even getting a jersey? Are we sure of that yet?
Well, we asked JP
no.
about it.
Finley says he's going to play.
Yeah, he thinks he's going to play. He thinks friggin' Tony Brown, whoever that is, might play.
Man, they are really.
I mean, you're not
going
to see Wright.
The barrel.
You're not going to see Wright. You're not going to see Gandy Golden.
Steven Sims.
I mean, that's three. You're going to see Cam Sims, McLaurin, probably Bidette, maybe Tony Brown, and Inman.
Yeah,
wow, that is by. I mean, find me a worse wide receiver core in the NFL. I dare you to find me a worse group of skill players at the wideout spot.
True,
you
but
can't.
I'll
for
tell
some
you
reason,
what.
I just
if
feel they, like
if those guys go nuts and Kyle Allen throws for 320 and three scores and a bunch of those receivers are doing, Nolan needs to go.
Who? Nolan?
Nolan. Yeah. Yeah.
See you later, Mikey.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just feel like you could plug in some guys if they have the ability, and you can make do with some guys off the street, maybe at receiver. I think it's one position where you kind of can. Maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But you could find a great athlete and
I don't know. I mean, there's got to be something for chemistry. You're talking about a backup quarterback throwing the guys that are signed off the street. I don't know. I don't see them putting up a bunch of points.
All right.
Now, maybe Gibson and McKissick go nuts. Maybe they do. But I can't imagine anybody other than McLaurin doing well.
Yeah. Well, I think Dontrell Inman has surprised people. He's had a few games where he's been a quality receiver for them. He's not going to scare you, but he can be a good possession guy.
I mean, can you imagine if you were talking about Kyle Allen throwing to Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, those guys?
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Yeah. That's why I think Dallas wins, because Dalton, even though he's poo, he's a redheaded poo, he's going to make enough plays because those guys are so good.
Yeah, but they scored 10 points against Zona.
It was a bad week.
10.
Yeah, it's
well,
a
the
bad
thing
week.
Is, that Arizona got hot early, right? And just kind of knocked him out early. It was a quick knockout punch, and it was over.
I think it was zippy-zippy, actually, after a quarter.
Yeah, but by halftime,
By halftime, I think it was 21-zippy.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that Elliott had the two fumbles, and he didn't do anything.
Right.
And they were down big, so Dalton had to drop back 60 times.
And Tony Pollard was getting run instead.
Stan corrected. It was 21-3 at halftime, but it was 0-0. Through a quarter. So it looked like the defense was playing all right, and then Arizona got it going, and they just kept it going.
Dallas turned the ball over four times. They were just giving them the ball.
But that's what they do. They're minus 12 on the season.
That is true.
All right, 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Play the music, Valdez. I want to get fired up here. Let's go to line one. Let's go to Lap in D.C. Lap, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
All right, how are you?
Hope you and your family are well and staying safe.
You too.
I think we're going to lose, man. It seems like it doesn't matter what coach we've had in the last 6 years or so. It's like we don't take the division game serious, man. So I just think we're going to lose. And another thing that irks me is it's not like certain positions that, you know, we're doing that wonderful at, you know. And we got guys like I've been saying for like the last 3 years, Cam Sims should have been in there. It's not like our receiving core is that great. You know what I'm saying? Or we just have all these talented guys at our disposal. So we need to use other guys and get them involved and see what we have. And that would be a good learning curve for some of the young guys. If, you know, Ron wants to go every week, he wants to win the division or develop players or whatever the hell he wants to do. But I'm sick of this dude already. Like, I wanted a young coach from the jump because these old coaches don't seem to relate to the times, man. And we need to run the freaking football. So that's just my take. It's just frustrating, man. But
right.
We'll see.
Right.
Well, I mean, if Ron Rivera had an offensive line that could maul people and dominate, I'm sure he would run the ball more and more effectively. But it's not what he has at this point. He's got a bunch of mismatched pieces. He's got guys going down with injuries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he has to adapt.
Are we never going to see my man crush Bryce Love?
You're never going to see him.
Yeah, I don't know why you get so sized.
Here's how you see him. Go on YouTube and watch his Stanford highlights.
Right, that's why.
That's how you're going to see him.
I get sized because he was amazing a couple years ago.
If you want to see him running up and down the field on Drab's Sun Devils, go down the wormhole. That's about the only way you're going to see him.
Right.
We're on pace. I know we were goofing on Logan Thomas, and he's not going to put up big numbers, but he's on pace for about 45 catches, maybe 5 touchdowns. I was saying
that, like, in July and August, if you get that sort of production out of him, that's basically what you should expect. That, like, yeah, the high end of your expectations.
In fact, he and Dontrell Inman have almost identical stats. They both have 17 catches for 148 yards and 2 touchdowns. Both of them.
They're 1-5.
I'm just saying. I'm not hyping them up.
If they're starters, they've got to produce something.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean they're good.
They're serviceable.
You want serviceable. You want good players or serviceable players?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, I don't think they're the reason why we're losing.
Washington football team didn't think Richard Rodgers was serviceable, and he stepped in for Zach Ertz and had 6 grabs for 85 and looked pretty good yesterday in Philadelphia.
Yeah, they decided he wasn't good enough.
They decided he couldn't make the cut here, but he went to a division rival, and he put up a stat line that Logan Thomas could only dream of at this point.
Right. All right, let's go to Ben, line one. Ben in Indianapolis. Ben, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? Long-time listener. I miss my hometown.
Nice.
I'm a Virginia Tech alum, so I'm going to start off with a little bit of bias here, but no one's talking about Logan Thomas. Why are we not talking about Logan Thomas as a receiving
option? I just brought him up.
We just talked about him.
All right, well, I guess that was on hold, so you got to it and you beat me to it. But I feel like he's going to ball out. Who the hell is going to cover him on Dallas' team?
I don't know.
What is balling out?
Vander Esch. I mean, one of their linebackers.
What's balling out going to be?
No, not Vander Esch.
Four catches for 36 yards. What's balling out?
Okay, well, listen, he's got a lot. This guy's got a lot of potential. And once Kyle Allen gets knocked out and Alex Smith isn't there, now you've still got a quarterback. So throw some flea flickers to him.
You're happy at first with his call because he was going with Washington, but then he just lost all credibility. Yeah.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you.
Ben's resorting to flea flickers for offense.
I feel ashamed my daughter attends Tech now.
Right.
Thank you for listening, though, in Big Ten country. We appreciate that, Ben.
Right. By the way, Jason, a bunch of people were tweeting about the program that your daughter's going to attend in Lugano, Switzerland,
mm-hmm,
semester abroad. And one of the persons tweeted that that's where all the sorority girls go.
Right.
And she's a sorority girl, right?
She's a sorority
so
girl.
Maybe that's, I mean,
I wonder what's going on over there.
I think AWOT's booking a flight.
Hey, does she have a boyfriend yet that you're aware of?
She doesn't have a boyfriend.
All the 20-year-olds in Lugano are butt-sized. They love the sorority
Stay
girls.
Stay away. Stay away, boys.
It's ground zero. They love it.
All the Roger Federer wannabes, stay away.
Right. All right, let's go to line two. Let's go to Jason in Portsmouth. Jason, what's up, man? You're on the Junks.
Hey, Junks. I think Dallas is going to win. Just the Redskins, they're just so inconsistent all across the board. But the question I wanted to ask is, like, isn't some of these fifth-year options coming up from, like, Allen and Payne? And is Alex Smith, is he going to be due a large money for the as far as the payroll next year?
Is there a way they can get out from underneath them, Cakes, where it's
I thought his deal was up after this season. I could be wrong. I can check SpotTrack and see what the latest is. But I thought his deal was done after 2020. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I don't think it's done. But I think they might be able to get out without it being too much of a penalty.
Too cumbersome.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, coming up next, we're going to do the simulcast bit. So we got to get out now. We're going to talk to Sean and RJ from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. We'll get the Cowboys' perspective on this matchup. Keep it here. We're the Junkies on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.